Dear saints, how are you doing spiritually? One of the teachers that I greatly respect has you consider this question by three diagnostic questions. You ready? What is my attitude toward public worship? Am I going as often as I can? Is my heart present where my body is? First one. Second, what is my attitude toward authority? For you live a life under authority. What is your attitude towards them? Towards your mother, towards your father, towards your supervisors, towards the government, towards your pastor? And what is your attitude towards those who are below you in authority, your children, etc.? What's my attitude towards worship? What's my attitude toward authority? And then the third one is, how is my conscience? Now, your conscience can get messed up in two different ways. They're both the same side. They're both two different sides of the same coin. One, your conscience gets messed up when it is guilty. And second, your conscience gets messed up when it is angry. Now, last week, we heard what happens when my conscience is guilty. Answer, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And this week, we hear, what should I do with my conscience when it is angry? And you get words like this, be merciful. Even as your Father is merciful, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And this gives the Christian a hauntingly difficult question. What if God treated me the way I treated others? And that picture right there, that good measure pressed down, shaken together, it is the picture of, imagine if mercy were a cup of flour, something like this, right? And so we want our Lord, when he gives us that cup of flour, we want him to scoop it up, overflowing, and then we want him to press it down, so there can be more room for it and scoop some more in. And then we want to put our hands out. And as he's giving us that cup of flour, so much is spilling over that it just falls into our lap, right? Now, what happens when we give mercy to others, when we show forgiveness to others? And the great temptation is to take that cup of mercy, that cup of flour, and to scoop it in and to look at it and say, that's too much. And to shake a little out, that's still, I need this, I'm baking cookies later, right? And to shake and to pour a little bit out. And then you get this, the measure you use will be measured back to you. Dear saints, you are not the judge. And this is wonderful, freeing news for the Christian. And it means that you aren't the judge of your own sin, which means that you can't be more lenient than the judge is. The Lord proclaims his law. He tells you what you should do. You can't be more lenient than the Lord is. But it is also wonderful news for the Christian who comes with a guilty conscience, who says something like, I know God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself. The Christian then needs to hear, well, thank the Lord that you aren't your judge, because you would condemn yourself. You would judge yourself guilty, and you come to church and you hear this wonderful proclamation that God is judge and that he forgives you all of your sin and that you leave with a clean conscience. Because you aren't your own judge, and the Lord judges you holy and blameless and righteous for the sake of the bitter sufferings of Jesus. And finally, you aren't the judge of others. Because so often, here's what happens. We live in a life in which we sin and we are sinned against. And when someone sins against us, we are so tempted to come up here, take the judge seat, yell to the security guard, right there, that person, they just sinned against me, bring them right here so that I can declare them guilty, sentenced. They deserve for me to yell back at them. They deserve for me to ignore them. They deserve for me to give them the silent treatment. They deserve it. They deserve my resentment and my anger and my gossip. And here our Lord tells us, sit down. You aren't the judge. I am. And you get texts all throughout today that are about the problem of anger and condemnation and judging. The one Miss Bethany read, bless those who persecute you. Live in harmony with one another. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. And that last part is important. As far as it depends upon you. And what that does is it takes out the but they of it. We're not talking about they. We're talking about you. And it is also quite freeing as far as it depends upon you. Because it might not end in peace. It might not end in reconciliation. Because for reconciliation to occur, the hearts have to be united with each other. But it is our Lord who is telling us, as far as it depends upon your heart, be reconciled with them. Don't throw them under the bus of my wrath and my judgment and my condemnation. Continue to show them the light. Continue to show them my word, lest they walk around as the blind leading the blind so that they fall into the pit. Keep inviting them to follow Christ and help them to follow Christ. But if they don't do it, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with one another. And this whole idea of the blind leading the blind gives us this false notion. It takes away the false interpretation of what judge not is in our world. Because it says, who are you to judge, right or wrong? Well, I'm not anything other than a person who has morality. Who are you to judge right and wrong? I'm a follower of God. There is right and wrong. If there is no right and wrong, then there's the blind leading the blind, and they both fall into a pit. So that is the wrong interpretation of it. There is still morality. There is still right. There is still wrong. There is still holy. There is still sin. There is good and bad. There is orderly and there is chaotic. So we can't walk around like the blind leading the blind. There's instruction for you as an individual, but this is not instruction for society as a whole. Could you imagine if there was someone who murdered someone in your family, and they came to the judge and they said, be merciful to me. And the judge said, all right, go home. You see, this instruction is not for the one who's in the police, the one who is at judgment seat. And it also isn't for one who are parents or teachers or anybody who has the authority to judge. But it is for the one who is an individual in their individual life to not throw someone underneath God's wrath. So the goal for every Christian is to follow this order over and over and over and over again. It's not a step-by-step thing so you can just get out of it, so you can throw them under the bus. It is a life in which we desire not to condemn, not to judge, not to be angry, and to continue to forgive, to take that mercy in which our Lord has given to us and to spread it out to others. Now, there is two things that helps the Christian do this. One, It is to receive that cup of mercy. That's overflowing, packed down, scooped up, and again, fallen into your lap. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Your Father is merciful. And when you as a Christian show mercy, when you as a Christian show that you desire not to condemn and not to judge, you are showing who God is. He doesn't desire to judge you. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He shows mercy. He loves you. He forgives you. He is at peace with you because of the blood of Jesus. You are forgiven, dear saints. And if you run out of mercy, then go back to the place that never runs out of mercy. Go back to the Lord's Word. Go back to the Lord's Supper. Go back to reading your Bible and praying. You need your mercy cup filled over so that it might spill over, and your Jesus never runs out. He gives you Christians to pray for you. He gives you Christians to bear the burden that you have in your life. He gives you pastors to proclaim the absolution. He gives you his body and his blood to eat and to drink. He gives you so much mercy, and he continues to. Dear saints, we will run out. You don't have it in you to keep giving and giving and giving unless you are receiving and receiving and receiving. What we have in the church are all these wonderful pictures of continually receiving mercy. And one of the pictures is that of a candle. And real life candles are quite wonderful because they're continually burning, but they continually to burn because they are burning themselves up. They are sacrificing their oil so that they might continue to burn. And for the Christian, it is a proclamation of how our Lord continues to show mercy. He gave himself up for you, but he never runs out of his mercy. And he pours it into your lap. And the second thing that the Christian can do so that they take off the judgment seat is to realize that vengeance doesn't belong to them. That you are not in the place of God. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. You don't have to judge because there is a judge already. And if that judge desires to show mercy to the person that you are angry at, God be praised for that. If that judge decides that the best thing to do is to show justice, then God be praised for that. You are not the judge, and it frees you. It frees you to proclaim, "I have no fear, the Lord is my light and my salvation." It is freeing that we can live a life of godly quietness because we don't have to avenge ourselves. Your Lord Jesus took the speck that is in your neighbor's eye. Your Lord Jesus took the plank that is in your own eye. And he placed it all in the wood of his cross. It all hangs there. He was judged. He was condemned. All so that you would be forgiven and given so much. He gives, he gives, he gives, he gives hope. He gives freedom. He gives promises that someone greater than you is behind every detail of your weeks and of your days. And especially those things that you deem as evil. He is the one who promises your present and your future rewards. He opens your eyes to come follow him through his word so that you aren't being led like the blind leading the blind that fall into a pit, but that you are being led into the loving and merciful arms of your Father. He gives and he continues to. He loves mercy. And you aren't the judge. And that is wonderful news. Because the judge proclaims to you today, Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. How is your conscience? It's forgiven. How is your anger? You aren't the judge. In Jesus' name, amen.